First Timothy chapter 1. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about our hope in God, and God being that foundation of the hope that we have in life. Last week, we talked about that hope being that hope for the future that we have. We talked about that promise that God gives to us, that promise of eternal life in the kingdom of God, that promise of wholeness of life and perfection at that time with no more crying or pain or sorrow. Amen? You remember that from last week, everybody who was here last week? This week we're going to talk about today and hope for today. I brought up a cookie, and Catherine doesn't know I stole it from the kitchen. I took it right off the plate. Everything looks great. Anybody want a cookie? This is a chocolate. I think it's a chocolate on chocolate cookie. Right? Chocolate cookie with chocolate. There's some darker chocolate little ripples, and there might even be like a little bit of nougat pieces underneath. There's like little bumps. Anybody want the cookie? There's some white chocolate ones back there. You guys can have this cookie. Okay? I'll let you have it in a little while. Okay? But I promise you can have a cookie, and you might not want this exact one, but there are a whole bunch of... If you want this exact one, you're going to have to beat everybody else to me afterward. But I promise you can have a cookie, okay? Now, for the next little while, you're living in hope and anticipation for the future. Right? You're living in hope and anticipation of the future. I promise you can have a cookie today. There may be some things you need to do, and I'm not going to be getting into this morning. There may be some things you need to do, like beat some of the kids, at least, to the table. But you can have a cookie today. Okay? That promise is yours. I promise you. I guarantee it. Now, I'm not always able to keep my promise, but the good news is God is always able to keep His promise. Amen? And so He promises us, He guarantees us the future. He says, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to occur. We have that and are able to hold on to that and know and be certain that that future is there for us in Jesus Christ. With our faith and belief in Him, our future is guaranteed. But we don't get it now. You're not going to get this cookie right now. It looks pretty good. The future kingdom looks pretty good. Comparatively, this is like dirt. I mean, this is nothing compared to the kingdom. I know it looks pretty good, but it's nothing compared to the kingdom. You see, but right now, we hold that hope for the future. So what are we then to do today? Since we have that hope for the future, since we know that we have a God who, when He makes promises, He keeps them. He guarantees them. We know that we have a God on whom we can stand as a sure foundation and a sure footing no matter what we face in our lives today. But what about today? Let's first talk about our hope in God's Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope. Okay, so there it talks about Jesus Christ being our hope. Now, ultimately, our hope is in God, but He has given us His Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we are able to put our hope. Jesus Christ comes from God, and so our hope is in Christ Jesus, the Son of God. And in that, then, as our hope is in Christ Jesus, ultimately, since God is the one who gave us His Son, our hope is then ultimately in God. Amen? I mean, you guys follow that line of reason and thinking there? Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter is a little bit farther back in the New Testament, right near the end. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter 1, we're going to look at verses 3 through 5. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Okay, again, do you see that future hope that we have? That future hope that we have in Jesus Christ. You see that there? That future hope that we have. Now, just as a quick doctrinal aside here, it talks about that hope, that inheritance being kept in heaven for us. In verse 4, you notice that it's being kept in heaven for us. So the hope that we have, that hope of the future, is being kept presently in heaven for us. But we don't have to go to heaven to get it. We're not going to be going to heaven to get it, but rather when Jesus Christ comes, He's bringing that inheritance with Him. He's bringing that wholeness of life. He's bringing that perfection. He's bringing that promise with Him. Anybody have a bottle of pop in your refrigerator right now? Raise your hand if you have a bottle of pop in your refrigerator right now. How about some milk? Anybody have milk? You have something you can drink in your refrigerator? Okay, most of us do. It's kept in your refrigerator, right? That bottle of milk, that bottle of pop, whatever, the water, whatever you keep in your fridge, it's kept in the refrigerator. Do you have to go and get into the refrigerator to eat it or drink it? Do you have to go and sit in the refrigerator and drink the pop? Okay? The same way, the promise that God has for us of the future, it's kept in heaven currently for us. We don't have to go into heaven to get it, but rather Jesus Christ is going to bring it with Him. Amen. I thought that was a really good analogy when I heard it. I think it was N.T. Wright that had done a teaching on that we don't have to go into the refrigerator to get it. It's stored there. It's kept there, and the promise is guaranteed that it's going to be given to us. We don't have to go into the refrigerator and sit down and there share in our pop or whatever we keep there. The same, we don't then have to go into heaven to get that reward, but rather Jesus is going to bring it with Him. So that's why the importance of that phrasing of when He comes and those words of His return and His appearance, and we see all those phrases and all those things, that Christ is going to bring with Him that great promise that is for us who are in Him. Amen? Amen. We're still talking about that future time. Let's look at verse 13. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. We're still talking about now hope in Jesus Christ, but a hope that is in the future. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's go back to that. We were in Timothy just a minute ago. Thessalonians are the two books right before Timothy. So 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 3. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, so the Thessalonians had hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, but that hope inspired them to endure. That hope, that living hope, as Peter calls it, that living hope inspired them to endure. That hope gave them a strength, a source of encouragement and comfort to endure that which the Thessalonians faced then. Paul says, I thank God that you're inspired by your hope. That you're inspired by your hope. You see, and so we then have that same hope for the future. We have that same hope in Jesus Christ. And that hope then ought to inspire us to endure that which we face in our lives as well. Knowing that we have a future promise, knowing that hope is guaranteed, is certain, that we can have full confidence and assurance in it, then we ought to be inspired by that to be able to endure whatever we face in life. And we face stuff in life. But that hope inspires us to endure. It inspires us to continue and to know I've got the strength to be able to make it through. There's a verse in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 that says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Anybody still thinking of this cookie? Maybe a couple. If we continue to not have this cookie, we start to long for it more and more, don't we? And I keep showing you, too. Like, look at the cookie. There's even white chocolate cookies back there. Yummy. You see, that hope deferred, it makes the heart sick. When we don't receive that which is promised, we start to tire of that. We can start to be in a position where we think, man, you know, is this gonna happen? Is this going to happen? Hope deferred makes that heart sick. You see, we're in a situation, in a position right now where we are waiting in our hope for the return of Jesus Christ. We are waiting for it. We're waiting for that day to come when Jesus Christ appears. We're waiting for that day to come. If we had nothing to hold on to now, if we didn't have anything now, then our hearts would grow weary and tired of that waiting. But the good news is, even though we haven't realized the fullness of that hope, even though Christ has not yet appeared and we are not currently living perfectly in Him and in His kingdom, we today are given strength and fullness now to be equipped for the things of life so that we can make it through. And so even though we don't have the fullness of that promise, we've received a little piece of it today. Amen? And so our hope isn't deferred in that we haven't received anything from God, so how can we be assured that Jesus is going to come? But rather, we have received greatness and fullness today so that we know, wow, that's a part of that proof of God's promise to us that indeed Jesus Christ is going to come. Indeed, that promise is guaranteed and assured. Indeed, we're able to put our hope in the return of Christ and know that that's solid. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. It says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed," notice that importance on belief, "having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory." You see, God gives us this hope in Jesus Christ of the future, but He doesn't just leave it at that and say, well, you're just going to have to wait. You're just going to have to wait to receive anything from Me. You're going to have to wait until Christ comes back, and I promise things are going to be good then. Well, they certainly are. But God also gives us a piece of that now so that that hope isn't fully deferred to the future. He gives us a part of that now. Paul here uses that phrase, a down payment, or a deposit rather. We've received strength through the Spirit of God today, through the Holy Spirit in us. We've received strength as a deposit, as a part. We've seen a piece of that future that is to come. Amen? Well, what has the Holy Spirit done for us today? What strength do we receive today because of the Spirit? What wisdom, what understanding have we received today? What wholeness of life have we received today? What fullness and equipment have we received today to be able to face everything that we face? Lots of it. Lots of it. We've been given wisdom and knowledge and understanding and discernment. We've been given so much today by the Spirit of God, and that's a down payment. That's a deposit, right? A deposit isn't just a piece. Okay, who wants part of this cookie? I saw some hands earlier. I know yours was up. Here's a deposit. Now, this isn't much, is it? That's not a whole lot, is it? But there's a deposit. Yeah, you're licking your lips already. You see, there's more where that came from. And you're going to have to wait for it, but there's more from where that came from. I know there's some kids in the back who had some hands up. I'll make sure to get it to them too. Here's a couple for you guys. You see, they're getting. Okay, I know Jacob wants one too. Donna, you want a little bit of that? Fred had his hand up. You see, they're getting these small pieces. They're getting just little portions of that promises that's to come. How is it? You can eat it. You can hardly taste it, can you? But that which you taste, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. You see, there are more back there, and after the service, you can have one. You can have it. You're going to have that wholeness of the promise that's given. But you get a little piece of it now. You get that deposit. You get a little down payment, just a bit to be able to taste it. And that's the way God in our lives then, as believers in Jesus Christ, God has equipped us and given us the Spirit of God so that we're able to have a piece of that promise now. It's a down payment. It's only a little part. You saw the little tiny crumbs I was giving everyone. It's just a piece, and yet we're equipped greatly. We're equipped with great power, and today it seems like a lot, but it's just a down payment. It's just a deposit. It's just a little bit. It's just a little bit. What a great promise God has in store for us in the future. Amen? But today we are equipped. Today we have strength. God hasn't given us a hope in the future and said, well, just keep your eye on that and you'll be fine. And indeed, there is great strength we have as we keep our eye on the hope in the future. But God also gives us greatness today in Jesus Christ. Stay in Ephesians, but go over to chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 10. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, Paul writes this book on Ephesians, and he talks about just as a church body, as a body of believers, who we are and where we are and all that God has in store for us. And in verse 10, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You see, God equips us with tools today through His Spirit that we're able to take our stand. Amen? That we're able to take our stand. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Remember last week I talked about 1 Corinthians 15, and it talks about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And at the very end it says, therefore, dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. And we talked about that, and I said Ephesians chapter 6 talks about standing firm. Look at verse 13 here. Ephesians 6, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You see, we're equipped for today. In all of the struggles that we face personally, in all of the struggles that those around us face personally, we're equipped today. We don't only have the future to look forward to, but rather we're equipped now for everything that we face. Amen? We're equipped now for everything that we face. And so we can stand firm under anything that we face in life. We can stand firm no matter what the government does. We can stand firm no matter what happens to our jobs. We can stand firm no matter what happens to our 401ks. We can stand firm knowing that our faith and our hope is in God through Jesus Christ. It's not in all that other stuff. We can stand firm. Here's the thing. There are times when God gives us the strength to stand firm. But life isn't only about standing firm. What happens if all we do in our lives and all we do in our walk with God is stand firm? What happens? We stand still. We stand in only one place. There's no advancement one way or the other. There are times when we face issues in our lives where God gives us the strength to stand firm. That there isn't a purposeful advancement or a purposeful moving forward, but rather that we endure the things that we face with the strength that comes from God, with the wholeness that comes from God. And praise the Lord that He gives us that strength to stand still. Because the alternative is being pushed back. It's being pushed backwards. But He gives us the strength to stand and to stand firm. But God also gives us the strength and the ability many times, and most of the time, not only to stand still, but to advance. Amen? Not just to stand our ground, but to advance. To move forward. To make positive steps in our own lives, positive steps in the lives of others. God indeed gives us the strength to stand firm when it seems like everything is coming down on us. But He also at times gives us strength to move forward, to advance. Paul knew this, and he talked about this in one of his other letters. Go to Philippians, the very next book. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Paul says in Philippians 1:12, Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Paul is at a point in his life where he is a prisoner, where he is chained, where he is imprisoned. If most of us found ourselves in that place, in that position, we would probably feel as if God has given me the strength to be able to stand firm, and that's about it. Amen? That's not a place that I would like to be. Our world would be drastically changed if we found ourselves in prison. Correct? I don't think I need to paint the picture here. Our worlds would be very different if we found ourselves in prison. And probably so much so that we would feel as if I just pray that the Lord would give me the strength to make it through today. Just the strength to be able to stand firm. Paul's in a position where he was in prison, and rather than relying on the strength of God only to allow him to stand firm, he knew that God had a plan that went beyond that. He had a plan that went beyond that, and not only did Paul stand firm, but the gospel was advanced. The strength and power was there through the Holy Spirit to advance that gospel, to advance that truth of Jesus Christ. I believe, and I think I have said it enough times that I hope that you're seeing it as well. We've heard it this morning a couple of times. I think we're in a position as individuals in life today with things seemingly falling down around us. And I'm not trying to paint the picture just everything's so horrible and awful. But people are losing their jobs. The economy is going down. Our government makes choices that maybe we don't agree with. But things are happening around us. I think we're in a position where not only is God going to give us the strength to stand firm, not only is He going to give us the strength to be able to be in a position in our lives where we stand up under the pressures that are around us, personally and in our families, but God is also going to give us the opportunity and the strength for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be advanced. Not only to be standing static, but to be advanced. Bruce shared the opportunity that he had on Friday to be able to share that truth of Jesus Christ in the world in which we live and the uncertainty that is there. I think we're going to have more and more opportunities like that in our lives. Think that's true? Anybody in agreement? God will give us that strength to stand firm. He has equipped us through His Spirit because of Jesus Christ. He's equipped us to be able to have the strength that we need to be able to make it through life. And so He's given us that strength so that we can stand firm today, knowing that there is a great promise in the future, holding to that. But we can stand firm today, and not only to stand firm, but to advance the gospel. The same way that Paul in prison realized and understood that the gospel was being advanced, even though he was in a position that he certainly did not want to be. He was obedient to God, and that gospel was advanced in that difficult time. Amen? And so I really see us at a point where we have an opportunity to stand firm in God. To put our hope and trust in Him, if it's been there all along, then to be able to be built up and encouraged in that. If we've put our hope and our strength in anything besides God, to be able to then transfer that from whatever that thing was onto God. To be able to trust and know that our God has a perfect plan for us at the return of Jesus Christ. That there is a future hope for us, which is glorious, and my words aren't able to share with you the awesomeness of what that's going to be. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, Revelation 21 and 22, we touched on some of those things last week as we talked about that future hope that we have. But we're also strengthened today. We've received a deposit in the Holy Spirit, a deposit which guarantees that inheritance, but also equips us now to be able to advance. Even when it seems like, by man's standards, we shouldn't even be able to stand still, but rather we should be moving backwards. No. We're able to advance. Not because we have two jobs, not because we have more money, not because we didn't take a hit in the stock market, not because we didn't lose our job, not because of any of those things, because that's just the stuff. But because we stand firm on God. We stand firm on God. And so our identity is not based on anything else. It's based on God. And our hope and our strength and our comfort and our encouragement and our support, all of that is based only on God. And so the other stuff might change. The other stuff might change. But God gives us the strength to be able to stand. And when you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. Amen? Stand firm then. And look for and use, take advantage of those opportunities then of not only standing firm, but advancing that gospel of Jesus Christ. Because those opportunities are there already, and they will become more and more routine as more and more people face struggles, and as that hope that they had in their lives starts to crumble because they had their hope in something besides God. So stand firm in your hope of the Lord and advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Advance that. Move that forward when those opportunities are there. Be purposeful in looking for those opportunities and take advantage of them as well. Amen? Amen. We've got some good work to do. We do. But we praise the Lord because He equips us with that which we need to be able to do that work. We are able to join Him in that work and be able to be empowered by Him to be able to do the things that we need to do. We praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Great God, I thank You. I give You praise for the great future that You have in store for us. I give You praise and thanks for the strength and the wholeness that we have today through Jesus Christ by Your power and Your Spirit in us. Father, I thank You that You have equipped us so that we can stand firm even when it seems like everything of the world isn't, everything of our lives isn't, but we can stand firm on You. And so we put our hope and our trust fully in You. God, bring that awareness to our minds of how that gospel can be advanced in our lives. Father, we rely on You for that. We cannot do it by ourselves. We rely on You for that. Your wisdom and understanding, Your direction. Father, also Your power, Your ability in us. God, we give You thanks. We give You praise in Jesus' name.